Good morning. It's the 6th of December. Our New Testament reading today is Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to read to you from Brother Fred Barling's book on the letter to the Hebrews. In this section, Brother Barling quotes verses 20 and 21. I read, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen." The time has been long, the changes many, since that prayer was penned, and great though the differences were between the situation in which these Hebrew Christians found themselves, and that of other Christians, whether Jewish or non-Jewish, in, say, Ephesus, Corinth, or even Rome at the time, the differences between their situation and that of us Gentiles in these days are of necessity greater still. Much, for example, that was axiomatic for them, the existence of God, the inspiration and authority of Scripture, the divine control of human history, is challenged and even denied today. The plain fact is that were both the writer and the readers of Hebrews to come alive in our day and recommence their Christian career in our contemporary world, many of their problems and their needs, and so the form and content of any letter composed to meet those problems and those needs, would be altogether different from those with which this study of Hebrews has made us so familiar. Since the world is constantly changing, a purely static attitude to it is neither possible nor wise. Each age brings its challenge, and to be successfully met, that challenge needs first to be recognised for what it is. To blind one's eye to that fact is simply to repeat the error of these Hebrews and, like them, to be caught unawares when the storm of difficulty bursts upon us. Yet in history, ever-changing though it be, there are certain constants. That is assuredly one of the great lessons which Hebrews teaches us, as it taught the first readers. Chief among those constants on the human side is, alas, human nature itself, with the result that certain problems recur automatically in every age. That of loss of faith, of loss of enthusiasm, of undue concern with immediate short-term benefits, which in the long run prove destructive of true spiritual life. Whatever, in fact, may be the particular situation in which any one Christian either practices or betrays his Christian principles, his reactions to it conform to a clearly defined pattern. Though, therefore, the author was addressing himself to his readers specifically in terms of their own preoccupations at the time, when he told them, "Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come," he was in the process expressing a principle which holds good in every age of waiting for Christ's coming. What he meant was that not now, but only hereafter, can life's goal be attained, and that the living of life must be adjusted to that fundamental fact. Shortcuts to glory, there are none. The Son of God himself was made perfect through sufferings, so, therefore, must his followers be in their turn. There are many brothers and sisters in this world today who suffer unimaginable things for their faith. They too are an example to all of us. Thank you for listening.